They fall in line. Because there is a system. You don't conform to the system, you get the eats. So, first of all, it's a system that we need to put in place, right? And build institutions. That's one. Two, to speak specifically to the protest. Like Pastor K said, for you to be able to protest, you need to stay alive, right? So I think, in my view, you see, first of all, the problem, the solution to a problem cannot be worse than the problem. The protest, I think it went on for too long. I think that at some point, the government came out and said, give us leaders, give us representatives, let's discuss. Everybody, keep the youth kept saying there were no leaders. So the question is, how do you want them to achieve, to grant the request? Hold on. The solution cannot, like I said, the solution cannot be, to a problem cannot be worse than the problem. The protesters blocked the road. People spent hours on the road, crippling the economy. Lagos is the biggest economy in this country, and because of the country is just recovering from COVID, the economy was, we are in recession. We are gradually going back into it. So I felt that at some point, the youth could have given room for dialogue and could have backed down on the protest. But of course, that's no justification for killing. And of course, that does not mean that the president, it took even the president of Ghana, you know, had to talk to our president and said, came out and said, I have spoken to your president. And he's willing to, I mean, it was out of it. But so, in conclusion and in finalizing for me, I think when you are doing something, you should know when to back down, when to engage dialogue, and we need to build a system in this country. That's my view.
Please, let's not forget that where we started from was, what are the lessons to be learned? And I think he has made a very valid point in us learning lessons for tomorrow. But I'll leave it at that. We'll continue later. Wait. Okay, please. You have talked. I will give you just 1 minute. 1 minute. 1 minute. No problem.
Okay, so talking about what Bralamide said, I agree that there's a problem with the system, right? But for every youth, the fact that a youth came out to stand on the road to protest, they also had jobs. We needed people to actually come out and actually stand there, and we actually got the attention that we needed. So that is actually, because we cannot just all sit in our comfort zones and say, okay, you're not meant to do this, you shouldn't go on for... No! You're actually meant to be part of it.
I don't think he's saying he's against people coming out.
No, sir. I know, but what I'm saying is, for those people that actually risk their lives to come out, it's because they wanted a change.
It's commendable.
And that is the more reason why people were out there to start with. Yeah. Secondly, we know that there's a problem with the system. Honestly, I have one of our interns in my office. Her uncle is the chairman of Obalende local government or whatever. And I know that for every time she tries to say that the guy is trying his best, he's 37 years old. But his hands are also tied because of the godfatherism in the country. So I realize that youth are already enlightened right now, and everybody, they are trying their best to make sure that... I also never wanted to be part of politics, because we all believe that politics is a dirty game. But for crying out loud, we cannot just sit by the sides and think that things will change. So right now, I believe that people are more enlightened and they want to go out to make that change. We also have to understand that we have generations that are operating right now. Generation Z, Generation Y. They are different. These people want answers. You cannot just come and say, this is, why is it happening? They want answers. So there's a difference. And I want you to also understand that we know that there are two sets of youth right now. We have hoodlums and we have people that are more enlightened. So that bridge has to be, we have to bridge that gap. We have to also talk to the hoodlums and make them understand that we are fighting for you.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Kemi, 1 minute. Beautiful. Kemi, Shehu, and then...
I think my...
The two elders in front.
Okay, I think my point is very similar to...
So let's give the elders. Sorry, go on.
I think my point is very similar to Antidiah's own. And as for the protest being prolonged, I think if the government had addressed it after day one, day two, then people would have stopped. Or if you had done something and say, okay, these are the officials, or these are certain people, we have brought out some certain names, we're going to bring them to book. But you did not do anything. You just say, okay, we'll set up a panel. That's the end. People will not listen because we are tired. When people are frustrated, and as for strategy, every single drastic change in a government, according to history, everything started because of a single problem. Now, it could have been because of hunger. It could have been because of electricity. Okay, this is SARS problem. This is the first reason why we're coming out. Now, we're coming and say, okay, it's not only SARS. Oh, there's police brutality. Oh, there's this one. And then we say, okay, this is a systemic problem. It's not that youths are not in the leadership position, but the people, the older people that have been there frustrate the efforts of the youths in those positions. Youths contested for elections in the last election, but they didn't win. Not because they didn't contest, not because they didn't spend money, but because their godfathers, their systems in place, rigid systems that people will not allow them breakthrough. That is the only reason. And as for having leaders for this particular protest, the only reason why people did not, or the major reason I know that people did not want to come out as leaders, because they begin to take them, they begin to pay them off, they begin to manipulate them, and all of a sudden the protest is called off. We don't know what happened. Tomorrow they are still killing people. So we need to know, okay, what if you are going to have leaders? Let us know what is going on. Don't go and have a closed door meeting on our behalf. Tell us what is happening. Let us be involved. Because tomorrow you say we put you there, so we should trust you, and then you do nonsense on our behalf.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Shehu Adekunle, 1 minute, 1 minute, and we're done. Then we'll go back to the two people in front and we'll wrap this up. Okay?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We've made a lot of mistakes and I'm sure we've learned from them. So many people died. A lot of things were not in place. And a lot of things were actually in place. What Brother Lamde said, you are right. However, I think this protest is by far the most organized protest in the history of Nigeria. The protest was perfectly organized. Yes, we made some mistakes by closing down roads, by blocking the economy, which should not have been done. However, they did all that just to get the attention of the government. If they didn't do that, I'm sure we would not be having this discussion today. But then, I also want to encourage everybody. Rasam was talking about getting involved. That is what we need to do. 2023 is just 3 years from now. It is close by. Get your PVCs. Go on Twitter. Join the YDP channel on Twitter. Know what is happening. Know when it is time for you to register. Don't just sit in church and start saying that government is this, government is that. Brandy was talking about some youths that are in government that are not doing their jobs. They are not doing their jobs because they got there through godfatherism. Youth did not vote for them. Youth did not put them there. But now, youths are ready to put their own people in government. And it starts from us. So, right from now, most of us, we are not even on Twitter, not on Instagram, not on Facebook. How will you know what is happening? How will you know? You can't know, and you call yourself a young person. It is a shame. What you need to do, get yourself an Android phone. Read the news. Don't just watch CNN. Don't just watch Africa Magic. Read the news. Buy newspapers. Join movements that will advance this nation. When it's time for us to vote, don't sit down at home and say, it is still the same thing. Go and vote. If you don't vote, it will remain the same.
They want us to believe that your votes don't count. But it's not true. It's not true. Adekunle.
Praise God. Praise God. I have
no preaching, no. 1 minute.
Yes, sir. I have a lot of things burning in my heart, but I will just try to go straight forward. Firstly, concerning the hoodlums. What I want us to believe this. You cannot train a dog how to bite, and the dog will not bite you someday. So these hoodlums that are fighting and destroying properties, they are the ones that gave guns and taught them how to do those things. So that's their business. Number one. Number two. Wait, please. Number two, I'm not in support of destruction of properties. Because either we agree or not, it has affected a lot of source of livelihood, like those that work with TVC, and they know they have to stay at home before they can get that place renovated and bring it up back. So, and they looted a lot of places. Again, concerning leadership of a team, the insensitivity of the president, and incompetency with the bad leadership of the country made the protest to get to that stage. Because as the Minister of Information, you cannot tell me you did not know what they are demanding for. In fact, it's visible to the blind and audible to the deaf and the dumb. So it's everywhere on the social media. It's not only on SARS. There are quite a number of things that follow the thing, which he himself notes. And I know for you to know that the killing of Lekki is planned and programmed. There was a time he said what they are planning to protest now is anarchy. So they themselves know that there is going to be the consequence.
Okay.
And of the aftermath.
Thank you very much.
So, sir, answer, please, sir, concerning the leadership of a team, what they wanted to use is divide and rule. And there was a time when they engaged some youths, I chat Yusufin and some celebrities on the Zoom. They pushed this man, Dangote, Emefiele, and some governors to them, tried to make them compromise their stand. Would they told them, your government has lost credibility with the youth. So that's just it.
Thank you. I apologize. We can't take everybody because we need to be out of here. I would love to hear from everyone. But all I've done is to identify those I saw their hands first, and we need to wrap up. So let's take Sister Joy, Sister Adesua, and we'll wrap it up. Okay, I want to give special preference to Mommy Akerele.
Let me. Thank you. Praise the Lord. I was very concerned. I wept my eyes were out. Some of you might think the elders or your parents were not supportive, but the parents kind of understood what the government can do. That is one. Oluchukwu was crying. Why? Two or three of her friends were there. And she said, if I was in Nigeria, I know my daddy would have let me go. Why not? Because he was very organized. Forget about the organized part. What of the disorganized part? The majority of the youth that we were coming to church, they were smoking Igbo. Those are the ones the government will use tomorrow. Don't say, this was wrong, this was wrong, this was wrong, this was wrong. The most important thing is, what can me and you do that will make that part, your weak link, to be tighter? How can you reach those youths that the government will use to disorganize what these youths have done right? That is the most important thing, oh. If you can ask yourself, when we were coming and we were smelling the bowl, and pastor said, they are hungry. And I thought within myself as they were going, if I could cook every Sunday, about 10, 20 packs, come to where these people that don't know where the next meal will be coming from, and give them these meals,
and then speak to them,
they will listen. So our youth that were organized, raising money for one person that had bad leg, could use that 2 million to disorganize the government by reaching out to those youth. You and you. Unfortunately, the age I am in, I'm not a youth. I just look youthful. I'm old. So you need to know what to do. What can you do? What can Oga Lamide do in his own location? They are all hoodlums in our all around us. The destruction was most where you have hoodlums. If you come to Lekki, ShopRite was so destroyed. Why? Ajakonde was opposite ShopRite. And some people were saying, hey, they videoed themselves. See the wine, no, ShopRite wine. This is the one I got. Kai, these people are wicked. See the wine they are drinking. They are not feeling guilty because, let me tell you, it would have reached me and you. It would have, because you also have food every day they don't have. So let's begin to think as youths of today, what can we do to, they are generation Y and Z. They are not our generation, no. They are your generation. And they are still bringing up more people, youths, more children, 14 teenagers, in their own way. What can you do? Think. Thank you. My sister has said so much. But I want to say, when we keep comparing ourselves, oh, this place, when they are here, they fall in line. You remember the years. Nigeria is 60. America is 200 and something. People have paid. True, they've paid. None of us, we are never willing to pay. We've separated ourselves. I know that there are so many people. Each time, there are times I just listen. There's a song they used to sing those days in the ghetto. Go and listen to the song. When people are born, like you said, there are six generations that are giving birth to people that are going to grow up like them. They said when people are born, instead of mothers to rejoice, they still weep because there's a ghetto. So there is still sadness as long as... Don't always think Nigeria has gotten anywhere. It's just 60 years. America is 200 and something. Until you go there, you don't know what is happening there. They fall in places on the line. Everywhere has its own story. So there are people that have had to pay, you know? Like, I felt like going out on the street, even on that Tuesday, if they allowed me, you know, I felt so pained. There's so much pain. So when children say they are going and they say don't go, what of those ones that are there? Please, I know that I'm not wishing that anybody should die, because according to Jonathan, which I will ever respect, nobody's blood is worth shedding for anybody that is not worth it. When I know that the wickedness of this God, I'm sorry, the wickedness of the president, I've always known his wickedness. That's why I did not vote for him. Because when youth coppers were cut short when he did not win, he did not say a word like a father. That man, I beg, please, be careful.
Mommy Akerele.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate everybody. I'm speaking. I'm representing the elders and what the elders will do in this situation. Like Sister Akemi said, it's not that we elders are sitting down folding our arms. It's not that we don't want to be part of this, of the... It's not even protest of the, let me use scatter, because everything is scatter, you understand? We feel like, were we not born in this country? Going to 70 years? Is this how the country will continue to boil? It's not that the elders fought during their own era too, if you recall history. The elders that are telling you not to go out, it's not that they are weak. They know what they are saying, because he who feels it knows it. Some children, some parents have lost their children. And yet, we cannot get the result.
The country continued.
The country continued. Some of us have opened our shops as if nothing has gone wrong. He who feels it knows it. An elder that says, hey, you see, you cannot get solution in a day. Nigeria is so complex. We have you are fighting for us. What of other things, like Brother Lamy, they said? We have so many problems that we are entangled in a net. And you can't, if you want to, you know, free yourself, you don't just jump out. It's not possible. We have to do it one by one. Now, these people are armed. The youths are not armed. That's why your parents are in that you should not. They don't want it. Look at the whole place. Those who feel it, you know, those have lost their property. That many souls have been injured, and many have gone beyond. Now, my husband was part of. I told my children, don't go for the project. You know, your father died as a result of this protest because of one man. The airplane was bombed. And we are left with who came to our rescue? Nobody. We are left to face to carry our cross. So also, now, Nigeria belongs to every one of us, if we know that. Whether you like it or not, as of today, what is the time now? Nigeria belongs to all of us. Now, what are we going to do as a couple? We have the politician, our leaders, one side, the youths, one side. Now, the elders are going. We are going gradually. We are living. We have played our role. Now, what are we going to do? It's a marriage by force, because now we have, like Pastor said, nobody knows the root of this thing. And the root is beneath. It's hidden.
You are only looking at SARS. You are only looking what is causing this problem. We have not even gotten there at all. So after SARS, then tomorrow we will wake up and say, oh yeah, let's go for other culture. And Igbo man will say, Yoruba. You heard what they said, wanted to start in the north. They said they've started with the, that, they wanted to turn it again into
ethnic.
What we have seen from experience as an elderly people, we have no choice. We have to sit down. We will dialogue. We have to dialogue. If we want, because now all these Americans and foreign countries that you are running to come and save you, they are the root cause of all this problem. They've tied us together that they know that if one party, if one ethnic want to stand up, the other ethnic we cause confusion. That's why we cannot progress. So I will advise the youth, please, you have tried. Now the protest, I learned that the first 2 weeks was peaceful. You want a demand, give them. After the 2 weeks, go back. Now look at what they are using against now. They say that the youth are the one causing all this problem. I know they will use it. Now the protest should have been, after the first 2 weeks, that is peaceful. Go back, give them ultimatum. We have said our own mind. After so time, and this thing is not, addressed, then we will come back. That is why they will not now say that it is the youth that are sponsoring all this good luck. Now, the opposition party, everybody wants to take advantage. They too, they will not fold their arms. So this is not a problem of whether only youth. There are some people sponsoring also to make sure that I don't have, then others will not have too. Please, I beg of you. Thank you so much. You will live to enjoy your country. Because if you run to America, you are still in second hand. They will tell you, shithole, go back to your shithole country. So use, please, let us don't use fire for fire. It won't solve. It's going to bring more anarchy. Thank you, Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Okay, I think it's about time to wrap this up. My views. First of all, what the youth did is fantastic. No protest in the history of this country has ever been this organized. Wonderful. Not having a leader was also a strategy. But what we are talking about today now is the lessons learned, so that tomorrow we will not make the same mistakes. All of the things that happened were foreseen. People saw that it was going to happen the way it did. Some people had called out dialogue. Get somebody from amongst you to discuss with them. Yes, I know that one of the reasons why they did not want is, I think it was Sadayo that said it, they will compromise the person or intimidate the person or one thing or the other. But you see, much as that worked to a point, it didn't work to the end. Okay? You raise a very good point. Let the dialogue be in the open. Let all of us sit. So that's a good point. But the thing that we must understand is this in learning from the past. We can have a revolution without destruction of properties if everybody is in sync, if all of us have one mind. And where the major problem is, which is the weak link, is the other kinds of youth. That is where the problem is. So our major work is to get them on our side, and it is all of us our responsibility. You saw the Arab Spring. It started from Tunisia. It moved to the other Arab nations. Till date, there has not been any real or serious change in those countries. There's still systemic rot, which somebody brought up. So our focus should be this. The youth of this nation form about 65%, if not more, of the population of this nation. Which means that if the youth speak as one voice, by speaking I mean voting, we can vote all of these old men out. They make us think that your votes don't count to keep you away. It is not true. Any politician will tell you that when people come out en masse to vote, it is difficult to rig. So one lesson learned is, let us be more involved. There should be no excuse for anyone in our midst from 18 years of age and above not to be a part of the next election. Mass mobilization. Now, there's a saying that the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The next best time to plant a tree is now. We have missed it, but we can begin now. We have megads. We have cleaners in the office. We have neighbors. Let us begin to engage them with milk of kindness. Once in a while, as you are going back, that loose 500 naira you have, use it to buy something for somebody and talk with that person. Let the person understand that what they are doing is not right. That what politicians are doing is that they use you, but their children are abroad. That we all need to come together to move this nation forward. When I started, I said, I don't like the use of the word hoodlums or miscreants. Nobody's born a hoodlum. It is society that creates hoodlums. They did not go to American International School. They did not go to Corona. If they went there, they would not be hoodlums. They did not have the opportunity to be there. So it's a cycle of hopelessness. These are people who don't know what they are going to eat by 2 o'clock today. It's either, if you ever get hungry, you know that what goes after hunger is desperation. It is, even the Bible says that when somebody steals to feed, that person is exempted from judgment. It's not a justification. But human instinct kicks off when there's no hope. There's no hope for tomorrow. Tomorrow has been mortgaged. The present has been stolen. So they have nothing to lose. So when you call them hoodlums, it is an elitist language. What they did to ShopRite, to Bode Thomas, is the language of the aggrieved. That is the only way they can ventilate themselves. They can't articulate themselves as you people are doing here. The only way they can do it is by what they did. And that is the truth. Let me bring it home. We have been for years asking the youth in this church, don't be indifferent. The youth can organize programs that can reach these people. Do you know that they are more prepared to listen to you than they are prepared to listen to me? You speak their language. You are closer to them. So what is the youth in the church doing? How can't we come together and say, okay, let's begin the strategy now. Anthony Village. Let's take Anthony Village. For God. Because whether you like it or not, if you take them for God, you take the country for good governance. That is the truth. They may not be educated, but they may see things the way you see things, because righteousness is one language. It's not the language of the educated or the uneducated. It's the language of good and bad. And everybody understands that. So we can point fingers, but what are we doing? So in our individual selves, as the youth of the church, how can we affect society? How can we show them examples? It's easy to point fingers, but let's look inwards ourselves. We talk about systemic rot. Yes, there is. systemic rot can't be changed by protest, though. You see, there are two components to everything. Mommy Akerele, I mean, hit it on the head. When parents say, parents mean we, take it easy, oh, take it easy, oh, it's because of what we have seen. And today, you people have seen it. Didn't we protest? We had SAP riot in 1987 or 88. We had SAP riot. These are things that shook the nation. My wife told me, oh, I saw it and she re-emphasized it, that, they say when they carry Nigerian flag and they are singing national anthem, soldiers can't shoot them. I say Nigeria. Our soldiers don't understand that. Say no, they can't do that. It was not up to 2 days after we had this discussion or one day. Soldiers shot. Did anybody anticipate that? Not really. One expected, apart from the fact that they were protesting peacefully, that they had flags, that nobody would dare, but they did it. Which parent in his right senses or her right senses, after seeing that, would tell the child, go again? What we don't understand is that the people that are ruling us, they don't care. We underestimated them. They don't care. They don't care. It's seen in so many ways. How could, in a nation of so many ethnic groups, all of the security chiefs are from the north? It has never happened. Appointments that have been made, even till now, they make it from the north. Somebody was the director general of PENCOM taken out. You should have replaced that person with the person coming from that region. No, they replaced the person from the north. The DG of Nimasa last year was removed. Was it last year or this year? Was removed. From who has the water in this country? It's not the southwest. You take a northerner in MPA, a northerner in Nimasa, where there's no water. Does that make sense? Have we not talked? Do they care? We underestimate them. Let me say one more thing to tell you the complexity of this nation. We know the vice president is a pastor from the southwest. I'll be honest with you. I was one of those who felt, this man should resign. He should speak up. And yesterday I was having this discussion with one of our provincial pastors. And he said, it's deeper than that. I said, why? He said, do you think he has not contemplated resigning several times? If he resigns, they will take an El-Rufai and put as vice. Nothing will happen. The reason he's seated there is to prevent that from happening. What is the best opportunity for somebody from the south to get there is that we have a southern vice president. Because the excuse for them to take it to the north again will be very little. It may not be him, but at least he should come to the south. Trust me, they will do it and nothing will happen. So in School of Disciples, one of the things that they teach you is know your enemy. If you underestimate your enemy, you do so at your own peril. And I want to close with this. Protest is good. What has happened in the last 1 week or last few weeks has never happened. And I believe that there is a slight shift. Slight, not big slits. They are waiting for things to get back to normal. The army has already come out to tell you we didn't do it. Governor says, I don't know anything about it. Police says, so the outcome of the investigation has already been predetermined. The only way anything can happen is that the international community steps in, but they won't. If you think they have your interests, you are making a big mistake. So it is us. So protests are good. At least, if for nothing, they know that we can speak up. But I'm talking to us as Christians. It's not protest alone. And I'm sure clearly you have seen it. It's a spiritual warfare. Both go hand in hand. When Moses was going to face the Amalekites, he said, me, Aaron, Hon, Hor, will be praying. Joshua the youth, go and do the fight. Without the physical fight, their prayers will be meaningless. Without the prayers, the physical fight will be meaningless. So it's a combination of both. Let none of us ever imagine or think that this thing is going to be by force. For the principalities holding down this nation to be dislodged, prayers must go down. Prayers must go up for them to be dislodged. Trust me, if they went out the next day, they would kill more people. We will shout. Nobody wants to lose a brother. Nobody. Youths were wonderful. I heard DJ Switch. The courage, the maturity of this youth, I'm sure we are going to hear of it as things are still developing. Somebody laid on her and received the bullet on her behalf. Shouldn't that person be a hero in this nation? So there's no doubt. But nobody wants more bloodshed. The people we are dealing with have no regard for human life. So, what is the takeaway? Let's all get involved. The constitution that is lopsided of this country can only be changed when we have a critical mass in the legislature. Apart from that, we are wasting. Didn't you see them on television, the Northerners, being interviewed in Arise and channels? It's not going to change. Nobody will give you power on a platter of gold. It has to be wrenched from their hands. And let's be more strategic about this. I, for one, believe that at a point, dialogue should have come in. We read it this morning. Nature abhors a vacuum. The moment that they were looking for somebody to dialogue with, they didn't see. They introduced the hoodlums. Sorry to use that word, hoodlums again. They introduced them. We knew it was going to happen. So what do we do? Let us make it impossible for them that next time we come out, because if the hoodlums do not come out, they will have no excuse to shoot. Do we agree? There'll be no excuse. You can't fight somebody that is not fighting you. So they killed those people because they said they were hoodlums. You can't. Shebu say now, worry say I know green, I the tear shirt. If you don't say I know green, there won't be any fight. These people came out peacefully. So what is our major responsibility? It's the work we all have. Begin from your own immediate vicinity. Let's begin to re-educate those people. Let's show them kindness. Let's tell them the love. We love them. Let's show them the love of Jesus. And let the youth of this church arise and show other churches what youth should be doing. It's not much. If you organize a program to go out and begin to talk to people, it may not be necessarily preaching the Bible. It could be a day you set out to say, let's re-educate. You can introduce the Bible and Christ along the line. But let's first bring them to... You cannot get anybody to listen to you if they feel your heart is not with them. Is that true or false? Nobody will listen to you if they feel you are not hearing them. And how is this done? First of all, listen to them. Make them feel you are listening. You have their ears. Or they have your ears. Then you have the opportunity to talk to them. Let's begin it now. So that by 2023, the time may be short. Even if we miss it in 2023, we still have 2027, I'll be 28, or I'll be which one. There's still hope. There is a new Nigeria that will emerge without a doubt. But whether it emerges in 2023 or 2027 or 2031 is all in our hands. The more we work with urgency, the faster and the earlier it will be for us. And that is our responsibility. There's no other way it's going to come. There's no other way because they have the grip on power. They have the... Maybe what the country needs is to restructure. If they elect any of us to become president with the president... Somebody asked me. I'm mixing a lot of things now. Somebody asked me. He said, would you like to go into politics? We need people that can change things. And I sent him back the message. Somebody very influential. You see, maybe they are looking for people that they will sponsor to. They will come as if, oh, you are a man of integrity. That we need people like you. He's a liar. So I sent back to him. I said, I will not vie for an elective office under the present political structure of the country. I will not do it. Because if you put one person there, there's little he can do. There's little. Oshibajo, as president of Nigeria, there's not much he can do. If everybody around him are corrupt, I know him personally, Dr. Oke Lenalama, the former Minister of Trade and Industry. We fellowship every Saturday somewhere. That is a man of integrity personified. How much change did he make? He will tell you what happens. That the corruption in this country is underreported. One man cannot do it. We need to have a critical mass of like-minded people. I want to ask you as I close, is anybody hungry for change in this country? Let us not be one of those whose mentality is, when I get there, it will be my turn. Things have got to change. When I get there, it will be my turn to become rich because being in government is the fastest way to be rich. Let that not be amongst us. Let us begin where we are to make a difference. That is the only way this country will change. That's the only way. Anything outside of that will be daydreaming. We must be somewhere where we can influence and affect change. Otherwise, nothing can happen. So please, let's make a determination, every one of us. And it begins where? Who can tell me? It begins with you and begins with what? Participating in the electoral system. If you have to stand and wait in queue for days to get your PVC, do it. It's good enough sacrifice. Please, I beg us. Or else, in 2023, in 2027, in 2031, we'll be saying the same thing. We'll be saying the same thing. May God help us. Let us pray. I just want each one of us to ask God, first of all, to bring comfort to those who have lost loved ones. To bring comfort, to bring healing to those who have been aggrieved, who are pained. Let the healing powers of God begin to flow through the land. Let there be restoration of peace in our hearts in the name of Jesus. Let there be healing in the land. Let us pray. The Bible tells us that with God there shall be nothing impossible. He told the children of Israel, "Your cries have come up to me." I believe the cries of this nation has come up to God, and God is about to do something. I want us to pray that we, by our hands, will not truncate what God has planned to do. Lord, bring comfort. Let your spirit brood over the nation, brood over our hearts, in the mighty name of Jesus. Let justice reign in the land. Let there be equity in the land. Father, in the name of Jesus. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Father, we call forth a new Nigeria. Bring forth a new Nigeria, O God, in the name of Jesus. A new Nigeria in the hands of God. Raise up a David for our nation, O God. A man after your heart. A man after your heart. Lord God, raise men and women who will fill vacuums, who will fill the places of unrighteousness in this nation. Raise men who are righteous to fill those gaps, O God, in the name of Jesus. Help each one of us, O God, to play our part. For a kingdom that is divided against itself cannot stand. Father, help us to play our own part. Give us the courage. Give us the grace. Help us to be less self-centered, to be more selfless in our approach, in our attitude, in our thinking, in our disposition, so God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to affect our world with the milk of human kindness, with the love of Christ, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift up the youth of this church, O God. Let them be exemplary, O God. Let them show the other churches what the youth is supposed to be doing. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, let your name be glorified. Let your name be glorified. Lord, we bless you. And we thank you. And we give you glory. We declare it is well with us. We declare it is well with us. Thank you, Father. Adoration and praise be to your name. We know there's nothing impossible with you. Be exalted forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. I just want to crave your indulgence for another 6 minutes. Your indulgence to just watch this video for us to know what we can do in addition to our activism and our engagement of people. It's about 6 minutes or a little less.
Hey there, it's the Delphine Inn here. We're planning moving in unprecedented times.
I think that was a very productive engagement, youth. Did you hear what she said? As they got to the house of a certain politician, you all know the person, bats were flying. It tells you that this battle is not a physical battle, spiritual. But there's a Nigeria, a new Nigeria coming forth. Let's be comforted. Let's be assured. God is working and we will see it. Shall we rise? Father, we thank you for today. As a church, we join the body of Christ in Nigeria to declare that the wickedness of the wicked in Nigeria shall come to an end. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Beginning from now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, move us as a nation forward. Raise leaders after your own heart. Fill every gap in this nation. And let Nigeria, according to prophecy, be a nation that other nations will seek after. In the mighty name of Jesus. Let the eagle fly again. And let your name be glorified. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be your name. As we go to our homes, Lord, we go in your might. Go with us. Make the crooked places straight. Every road network we tread upon, every vehicle we ride in, we cover in the blood of Jesus. Our homes and our loved ones, we cover in the blood of Jesus. When we return here next Sunday, O God, let there be a giant leap in this nation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We pray, O God, that no one of us will fall into the hands of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely, God's goodness and mercy shall follow us all of the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord smile on you. The Lord be gracious to you and turn the light of his countenance upon you. The Lord grant you his peace, grant you his rest, grant you his favor, grant you his blessings, and open his heavens over you and over Nigeria. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go in peace.